Thank you and goodbye. Defying 200 years of laws and practice, the United States is deporting a record number of veterans after breaking promises to make them citizens if they served. By Ken Olson. Mauricio Hernandez Mata was kicked out of the United States after serving a 15-month combat tour in Afghanistan, nearly dying at the hands of knife-wielding muggers at home, and being forced to leave the Army because injuries from that assault prevented him from deploying to Iraq. He was deported by an arm of the same federal agency that derailed his path to citizenship with a bureaucratic blunder 15 years earlier, virtually guaranteeing he'd be forced to leave the country where he'd lived since he was a young child if, like so many veterans with untreated post-traumatic stress disorder and other war injuries, he ran afoul of the law. Mata is one of thousands of foreign-born veterans the United States has exiled over the past 25 years after failing to grant them the citizenship they were promised when they signed up to serve. Banished to countries that now seem foreign, they are separated from their families, unable to draw Social Security or access VA health care, and face extraordinary hurdles getting VA disability benefits for their service-connected injuries. And since 2017, the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security have made it far more difficult for active-duty service members and veterans to become citizens, even though many were recruited for their foreign language or medical skills. Today, current and former U.S. service members are denied citizenship at far higher rates than civilians, and at a significant cost. We're a nation of immigrants, and we've won wars because of it, says Margaret Stock, a leading immigration attorney and retired Army officer who oversaw a Pentagon program for foreign-born recruits. If we're not recruiting immigrants, we end up recruiting people who aren't as qualified. And we are sending a message to the immigrant community that we're going to deport you after you serve. The American Legion, which has fought for service members and veterans to receive U.S. citizenship through military service for more than 100 years, has called on the Biden administration to stop deporting veterans and military families, restore expedited citizenship for those who serve, and repatriate former service members who don't have felony records. These policies would protect our service members and veterans permanently with recognition for their honorable service to the United States, American Legion National Commander James W. Bill Oxford says. Legal and immigration advocates, meanwhile, are working to secure pardons and a path to citizenship for deported veterans whose criminal records are often a consequence of PTSD or other issues that are tied to the individual's military service. We made a promise, inscribed not just in our history but also in our laws. If you enlist and serve honorably, we will make you a citizen, says Jenny Pescarella, Director of Immigration Rights for the ACLU of Southern California. This is no way to honor the people who put their lives on the line for this country. Revolutionary history. The American military has relied on immigrants since 1775. At one point, non-citizens comprised a third of the Continental Army, says Stock, who is a member of American Legion Jack Henry Post 1 in Anchorage, Alaska. In the Declaration of Independence, the complaint against King George, because he was preventing immigrants from coming to America and getting citizenship, ranked higher than the complaint about taxes, she says. Congress passed the first of several laws authorizing expedited citizenship for immigrants who served in the military during the War of 1812, Pascarella says. Approximately 500,000 foreign-born fighters joined the U.S. Army in World War I, and 300,000 served in World War II. German Jews who came to the United States after Hitler seized power in the 1930s became part of a U.S. Army unit that interrogated Nazi prisoners, according to author Bruce Henderson's Sons and Soldiers. they were responsible for 60% of the credible intelligence gathered in Europe during the war. Today, the Department of Defense would say they are a national security threat and wouldn't let them enlist, Stock says. Since 1952, federal law has allowed lawful permanent residents to become citizens after a year of honorable peacetime military service. It also provides a naturalization immediately upon enlistment during wartime. Many eligible service members missed this benefit because of a mistaken belief that they automatically became citizens when they joined the military, not realizing that they still needed to file applications for naturalization, Pascarella says. Others applied, only to have the government lose their paperwork, or they missed notices that they needed to complete various aspects of the process when they were deployed or training at a new location. DOD and U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, began to address some of the problems during the George W. Bush administration. Working together, the agencies developed the Naturalization at Basic Training Initiative, which posted USCIS personnel at key military bases to ensure immigrants could complete the citizenship process in boot camp. The program started with the Army in 2009 and expanded to the entire military in 2013. One reason more than 100,000 immigrant service members have attained citizenship since 2001. DOD also established the Military Accessions Vital to the National Interest, MAVNI, program in 2008 that enabled recruitment of foreign students and undocumented immigrants with crucial foreign language or health care skills. The program was quite successful, says Stock, who was the MAVNI project officer until she retired from the Army Reserve in 2010. Deporting veterans. Changes in federal law have also made it easier for immigrants to get deported and more difficult for them to naturalize. Two measures passed by Congress in 1996 stand out because they prohibit immigration judges from considering military service as a mitigating factor in deportation cases, and also significantly expanded the list of offenses that result in mandatory removal from the United States, Pascarella says. As a result, possession of even a small amount of drugs with intent to sell, misdemeanor theft, writing bad checks, filing a false tax return, or failing to appear in court are considered aggravated felonies in immigration court, requiring deportation and barring defendants from ever receiving U.S. citizenship. Then, in 2017, civilian staff at the Pentagon dismantled much of the military naturalization system under the guise of protecting national security, Stock says. That included a background check system that allowed DOD to kick hundreds of immigrants out of the military simply because they had foreign parents, she says. In addition, DOD made it far more difficult for immigrants to obtain the certificate of honorable service they needed to qualify for citizenship. A federal court ruled last fall that the latter practice is illegal in response to a class action suit filed by the ACLU. But the Trump administration appealed, and the Biden administration has not withdrawn that appeal as of April 2021. Meanwhile, there are 10,000 MAVNIs in the military whom DOD and DHS have deemed to be suspect, all driven by, from what I can tell, is xenophobia, Stock says. One of those recruits, Shilong Zhu, faces deportation for unknowingly enrolling in a fake university DHS established to entrap foreign students. This occurred even though the agency certified Xu was eligible to enlist in the Army and work for Apple by virtue of his enrollment at the University of Northern New Jersey. He's afraid of what will happen if he's forced to return to China, where his enlistment in the U.S. military will be greeted with hostility, he says. Xu's U.S. citizen application has been denied twice, and he faces ongoing deportation proceedings in immigration court. DHS declined to comment on Xu's case and referred questions to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, which has not responded to questions. USCIS says it shuttered the naturalization at basic training program in January 2018 because changes in DOD policy significantly reduced the number of immigrants eligible to naturalize at boot camp. The agency also closed most overseas locations where active duty personnel could complete their USCIS interviews and take the citizenship oaths. Meanwhile, DOD says it ended the MAVNI program because of counterintelligence concerns and changes in federal law enacted by Congress make it impossible to resurrect the program, DOD says. Blaming Congress for this is disingenuous, however, Stock says. DOD officials asked Congress to change the statute. The Biden administration says it's looking into the issues. USCIS is committed to maximizing access to naturalization for all eligible service members and veterans, says USCIS spokesperson Marilu Cabrera. Devastating consequences. The toll on veterans and families is severe. Claudia Ramirez's father, Javier, was arrested on suspicion of selling marijuana in the mid-1990s. Police didn't find drugs, but still jailed Javier, a Vietnam-era Marine Corps veteran, she says. After a year behind bars, her father, a lawful permanent resident who ran a flooring installation company, auto body shop, and other businesses, opted to go back to Mexico rather than be transferred to an immigration detention center, where he could have been held indefinitely while fighting deportation. Her father sneaked back into the country, was caught, and deported again. Unable to collect Social Security, he survived for nearly 20 years by selling shoes and other goods on the streets of San Luis Potosí and relying on financial help from his children. 3 years ago, Army veteran Hector Brajas, founder of the Deported Veterans Support House, helped Javier get a small VA pension not long after he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. The money helped pay for his cancer treatments. It kept him alive another 2 years and 2 months, Claudia Ramirez says. Javier died in January in Mexico with Claudia at his side. She brought him home to Chicago in a casket, and he was buried in Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery in Elwood, Illinois. My dad was not some criminal who was going around killing people, she says. If he had still been here, I think he would have lived longer. Laura Mesa had been gone from Costa Rica so long that locals identified her as a foreigner after ICE shipped her back to the country she'd left at 5. I spoke Spanish with an English accent, she says. She joined the army at 21, deployed to Germany, where she was sexually assaulted, and then to Iraq. A dental technician, she was dispatched to help with the wounded after the 2003 bombing of Al-Nusayriya. She started having nightmares and became so depressed, she was sent to Walter Reed Army Medical Center for psychiatric care, she says. Mesa was medically discharged for war-related PTSD and major depression disorder in 2004. Things got worse from there. Alcohol and drug abuse, another sexual assault, convictions for marijuana possession and attempted robbery, deportation. She wrote to VA for help after arriving in Costa Rica in 2009, eventually becoming 100% service-connected for PTSD, depression, anxiety, sexual assault, and other issues. She's managed to buy a small farm where she is raising her son. But she's heartbroken to be separated from her family, including her daughter and 5-month-old granddaughter in Maryland. I love America, Mesa says. I'd do practically anything that doesn't hurt anybody to go back. Roman Sabol, has no criminal record, but was still locked out of the United States because he didn't understand the naturalization process. He came to California from Belize in 1987 and served 6 years in the Marines and 4 years with the California Army National Guard. The military never provided naturalization assistance, so Sabol filed a citizenship application on his own in 1994 and never received a response. He moved to Florida after leaving the military, worked for a hospital in Jacksonville, and started a family. Sabol moved back to Belize in 2008 after being diagnosed with diabetes. 8 years later, he received a letter from USCIS inviting him to Los Angeles for a citizenship interview. But the U.S. Embassy in Belize refused to give him a visa because an immigration judge had ordered him deported after he missed 2 hearings in the United States he wasn't aware were taking place. With the help of Public Counsel, a nonprofit law firm in California that works with deported veterans, and a federal lawsuit, Sabol eventually secured a USCIS interview at the port of entry in El Paso in October. He passed the naturalization test, and a fellow former Marine administered the citizenship oath. He's now living in a homeless shelter on the West Los Angeles VA Medical Center campus, where he turned 60 in February. And while he's happy to be back in the United States, his exile came with an excruciating price. "Everything I own is gone," he says. "I've probably lost my children to their mother." Miguel Perez, Jr. didn't get treatment for his PTSD after 2 deployments in Afghanistan and received a general discharge after testing positive for cocaine use. Later, he went to prison for helping a childhood friend make a cocaine delivery. He was deported in 2018 with just his papers and a 12-day supply of the psychiatric medications prescribed by prison physicians. Unable to access VA care, he relied on infrequent visits from family for those medications. With the help of U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat, Illinois, his family and his church, Perez was granted clemency by Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker in September 2019 and granted citizenship just before his temporary permit to enter the United States expired. In late March, he started an 8-week inpatient PTSD treatment program at the Lovell Federal Health Care Center in Chicago. "Now I'm able to get the help I need," Perez says. Duckworth, a leader in the fight to stop veteran deportations, called Perez's exile a tragic example of what can happen when national immigration policies are based more in hate than on logic, and ICE doesn't feel accountable to anyone. Widespread misconceptions also play a role. "People think all immigrants came here illegally, and so they got what they deserved," Perez says. "It's not an immigration issue. It's a veterans issue." Simple fix: ending the automatic exile of veterans such as Ramirez, Mesa, Perez, and Mata is straightforward. Immigration and legal experts say, stop deporting veterans. Rescind the increasingly punitive and xenophobic laws and policies created over the past 30 years. Ensure immigrant service members can become citizens and bring deported veterans home. Many of the crimes my clients have been convicted of stem from traumas and experiences they endured during their military service, says Helen Boyer, staff attorney with Public Counsel. Instead of receiving the social services and medical care they need, they are funneled into the criminal and deportation systems, leading to a lifetime of banishment from their family, friends, and the country they served in uniform. After twice missing out on citizenship, barely surviving a mugging, and being permanently barred from the United States, Mata isn't optimistic. He moved to San Diego from southern Mexico when he was 6. His mother became a U.S. citizen when he was 15, making him eligible too. It never happened because Immigration and Naturalization sat on his green card application until after he turned 18, Pascarella says. Mata enlisted in the army in 2000, then re-enlisted while deployed in Afghanistan. But in 2005, he was attacked by two would-be robbers in San Diego after flying home on emergency leave to help his family. I flatlined in Mercy Hospital and was in a coma for a week, Mata says. Once he returned to active duty, he was told he wasn't well enough to be part of his unit's deployment to Iraq. He left the army in 2006 with plans to re-enlist after he had fully recovered. Struggling with PTSD, anxiety, and depression, Mata instead ended up in jail for possession of a half gram of methamphetamine. 3 years after he left the army, Mata was again convicted of possession of meth with intent to distribute, as well as firearm possession. He served an 18-month sentence and was deported to Mexico in 2010. Unable to cope, he returned to California, was caught, convicted of illegal reentry, sentenced to 37 months in prison, and was again deported in 2012. "This time I stayed," he says. He happened upon the deported veteran support house in Tijuana in 2014 and met Brajas, who persuaded Mata to join an effort to get VA benefits for former service members who had been banished from the United States. Because of that, Mata has been 100% service-connected for PTSD since 2015. He lives in Tijuana with his wife and youngest daughter and travels to Guadalajara once or twice a year to see the physicians who prescribe his medications for PTSD and sleeplessness because he does not have access to VA doctors. Attorneys with the ACLU of Southern California are working to help Mata obtain citizenship so he can go home to California where his mother, siblings, and three oldest children live. He doesn't regret joining the army, but he's skeptical his combat service will make a difference in his efforts to achieve citizenship. "People don't care if you've been on one mission or 100+, Mata says. If you've made mistakes, as I have, you tend to go from hero to less than zero in no time. Commander calls for strengthening military naturalization programs. On February 25th, American Legion National Commander James W. Bill Oxford called upon President Biden to issue an executive order to reinstitute the USCIS Services for Naturalization and Basic Training Initiative and reopen all USCIS field offices abroad for service members and deported veterans. "It is imperative that we strengthen military naturalization programs, prevent veteran deportation, and repatriate deported veterans," Oxford said. "These policies would protect our service members and veterans permanently with recognition for their honorable service to the United States." He reiterated the point during testimony before members of Congress on March 4th. Deported Veterans Support House, a lifeline for displaced former U.S. service members. Few have done more to help exiled former U.S. service members than Hector Brajas, founder and director of the Deported Veterans Support House in Tijuana, Mexico. He provides them with shelter, moral support, a connection to legal services, and assistance obtaining VA benefits after they're banished from the United States. His tireless work has led to deported veterans having a collective voice whose cries are finally being heard, and it motivated the ACLU of California to make his cause our cause, too, according to ACLU's Discharged, Then Discarded report. Brajas knows the plight of displaced veterans firsthand. He came to the United States with his family when he was 7 and enlisted in the Army after high school. His parents remember the recruiter telling them he would become a citizen after he joined, he says. He served with the 82nd Airborne from 1995 until his honorable discharge in 2001. After a DUI and still struggling with substance abuse, was involved in a shooting in Compton, California, 3 months later. No one was injured. Still, Brajas served a little over 2 years in prison and, to his surprise, was turned over to U.S. Customs and Immigration upon his release. I thought, this can't happen to me. I'll be able to get a hold of somebody and tell them I'm a veteran, he says. Brajas was instead taken to a detention center south of Phoenix. He represented himself at his immigration hearing and lost. The judge said, thank you for your service. You can appeal the decision, Brajas says. He was deported in 2004. Missing his family, he sneaked back into the United States 6 months later, joined the Roofers Union in California, and worked his way up to journeyman. After failing to pay a traffic ticket, he was caught and deported a second time in 2010. He started the Deported Veterans Support House in 2012, which has a second location in Juarez, and is working to assist deported veterans in 50 other countries, he says. Brajas finances the operation with donations and his VA disability payments. The majority of those he helps served during the Vietnam era and the Gulf War, although an increasing number of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans are now contacting him for help. Brajas is also working to form a coalition to repeal the federal laws and policies that are driving the deportation of former U.S. service members. He says he is grateful that his journey has allowed him to come home. He was pardoned by then-California Governor Jerry Brown in 2017 and became a citizen in 2018. It feels great, Brajas says. The whole process of being deported makes me appreciate being an American, being a citizen, even more. Ken Olson. Caption: Army veteran and immigration attorney Margaret Stock says immigrants have been crucial to the nation's ability to win wars since the American Revolution. End of caption. Sidebar: 409 American Legion posts that reported citizenship naturalization support activities in the 2020 membership year. End of sidebar. Timeline: 1919. The American Legion's first position on U.S. citizenship through honorable military service is stated in a resolution passed at its first national convention in November 1919, which recommends that American Indians who honorably served in the Army, Navy, or Marine Corps of the United States during the World War be given the full rights of citizenship, provided they did not evade or attempt to evade full and complete performance of such service because of conscientious objections or otherwise. Honorable wartime service was later noted as a consideration when U.S. citizenship was extended to all Native Americans in 1924. 1942. The 24th American Legion National Convention passes a resolution urging the federal government to continue providing naturalization classes and make them open to all aliens who are seeking citizenship instruction. 2008. The American Legion's National Executive Committee passes a resolution in support of efforts of the Task Force on New Americans under the Office of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, calling on posts to provide instructional space and citizenship classes to legal immigrants seeking U.S. citizenship. 2010. The National Executive Committee reiterates and expands its call for local posts to assist with naturalization programs and expresses support for the ideals and goals of Citizenship Day, as well as the USCIS Citizen Outreach Initiative, formerly known as the Task Force on New Americans. The American Legion develops a guide in collaboration with USCIS to help establish such programs locally. 2018. The National Executive Committee passes two resolutions during the year addressing citizenship through service in the U.S. Armed Forces. The first, passed at the NEC's spring meetings, call on Congress to permit the granting of citizenship to deported veterans if their discharge is honorable and they do not have a felony conviction. The second resolution, passed at the fall meetings, asks Congress to implement measures within the Department of Defense to ensure the process of naturalization through honorable military service is completed prior to discharge. End of timeline. Ken Olson is a frequent contributor to the American Legion magazine.